Our next guest has had a busy week, a landmark week. So total player payments for the AFLW players are up 146%. It's four times any other professional women's sport. The average salary is up 94%. There's 540 athletes now employed, and more than 40 players will make more than $100,000 in Season 7, which starts in August. The president of the AFL Players Association is Paul Marsh. He joins us. Paul, thanks for your time, and I guess congratulations.
Yeah, good to chat, guys, and thank you. It's been a bit of work over the last few weeks to get there, but I think it's an outstanding outcome for the AFLW players, and from our perspective, really deserved, and I think it's a really great day for the industry, so yeah, we're thrilled.
What's it like sitting opposite Gil in a negotiation? Because he's renowned as a pretty good negotiator, Paul, but I reckon you got him on this one.
Oh, I think, as I said, it's a win for the industry. So, you know, we've done a lot of this stuff over the last few years, and I think there's a mutual respect there. You know, it's about trying to solve problems, and you know, it can get willing at times, but hopefully he'd say the same thing. We keep listening to each other, and we've been able to find a way through over a number of years now. So I'm going to miss that part of it when he leaves.
Mm. The players were, a lot of them, incredibly outspoken, and probably rightly so, with the conditions, the lack of a start date, not knowing when pre-season was starting. What's the overwhelming response been from the players? Are they happy now?
Yeah, they are, and like really happy. And I think that's been actually quite heartwarming, to be honest, to see the reactions from the players on the back of yesterday's announcement. You know, we had some of the players at the media conference yesterday, and just sitting in front of them and the smiles on their faces, the messages that we've got, you know, some of the players talking about how this is actually life-changing, and, you know, players have been combining their football careers with 2-3 jobs. The life that they've been leading has been incredibly challenging, and I think this is going to allow players to give more time to their football, and I think the result of that will be a competition that continues to improve, and I think that's what we all want to see. So, like, the players are thrilled, and that's a great outcome for the industry.
Congratulations, Marshy. Well done. I've been wondering what you've been doing for the last 6 months, but now we can see it on writing on the wall. Does this allow these women to elevate the professionalism of their preparation and therefore the standard of this competition? Is that where you think we'll first see the impact of this financial boom you've been able to achieve?
Oh, I think no doubt. I mean, the industry already accepts this as a principle. When you think about the fact that we have salary caps and soft caps, there's a view that, you know, putting more money into football, into players and football departments, is actually going to improve performance, and that's why it's all equalised. So it stands to reason that we put more money in here, the players can actually devote more time. And one of the outcomes too is that you know, an increase in the hours the players will be able to put in, which is going to lead to an increase in professionalism. And, you know, we can't see how that doesn't flow through to performance, and you know, that's only going to help AFLW.
So in short, how was this achieved? Has it come at any cost to the men's competition, or has it been found in other areas?
Oh, look, I think probably I'd say it's, you know, for the AFL to talk to how that's been achieved, but, you know, it certainly hasn't come at a cost to the men's players at this point in time. I think it's well publicised. The AFL is in the middle of trying to negotiate new broadcast deals, and, you know, given the health of the sport, I think that, you know, they'll be lucrative, and this is an opportunity, I think, now to grow. I think we've been looking at this very much as an opportunity. I think if we invest now in AFLW and the players, we'll see growth in this competition. So, you know, I think it's, as Gil said a couple of times yesterday, this is affordable for the industry, and, you know, we're really excited about it.
So we can expect a similar percentage increase for the men's comp, is that what you're saying?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, no, but maybe not quite that, but obviously now we've got to sit down and negotiate the men's and the women's, and you know, I dare say we'll probably end up with a joint CBA as the next deal.
So what's you go?
Just on how will that work? That's your preference. How's that been received from the AFL, and how would that work, a joint CBA?
Oh, look, I think, you know, there's multiple ways you can negotiate these deals. There are examples in other sports where the players have joint CBAs, and I think, you know, it's it's ahead of us in terms of how that might look, but I think the most likely the intent will be to sit down and start to work through it. So, it's about negotiating the terms and conditions for both sets of players, and there's a lot of commonality between the issues. So, without getting into too much detail, I think, there's certainly a mechanism to do it, and there's examples out there of other sports that have done it.
Can take you off track for a moment. I've been at this for a little while, and you know that the past players that have found themselves in a little bit of difficulty, whether it's... whether that be of their own doing or others, whether it be health or mental health or finance or wherever we sit, we have the situation of Sam Fisher upon us at the moment. Were you aware that something like this was brewing, or that had the Players Association had they done anything with Sam in the previous year or two?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start by saying that we don't comment on individual players. I think what we have to do is maintain and integrity around the support we give to the players, and confidentiality is critical. Like, we don't want players coming to us and then us speaking about any assistance we might provide, because I think that'll be a barrier to players coming to us. But I will say that, we've got over 5,000 past player members. We've got a fund now that was negotiated in the most recent CBA in 2017. That's about $4 million. So it's a start. It's certainly not big enough that we can solve every problem. But we do help past players, as I'm sure around injury and hardship and medical costs. And, we've done a lot there. But this is a problem that I think the industry really needs to tackle. I think, a lot of the players' problems start from, their time in the game. And the clubs are part of this. The AFL is part of this. And, what we find is we're often picking up the pieces at the end of a career. And I think the things that we're doing as an industry during the career are really critical here. So I expect this will be another conversation as we do the next CBA. But look, we're helping out hundreds of players every year through our injury and hardship fund. And I think we're providing as good a support as we can provide right at the moment.
Would you like to see all fines banned as an association? I mean, we talked a lot about the West Coast Eagles players last week, fairly or unfairly. In a broad sense, would you like to see them taken off the table as a form of sanction?
Yeah, I think the bigger question is, what do they actually achieve? So it's not about, I know there's lots of conversation that the fines aren't big enough and whatever else, but what is the purpose of fining someone? I mean, often it's just an optical response to making sure that we look like we're doing something. I don't know if real behaviour change comes from just putting a financial penalty on a player or any human being. So I think we're open to the right conversation around behaviour reform. We very much believe in second chances for people. So hanging people is just not a philosophy we believe in. But trying to help people learn from mistakes is certainly something that we're interested in. So, it's not a financial discussion for us. It's about what's the right way to deal with trying to change behaviours.
What else will be top of your agenda? Clearly, you want the players to earn more money, but things such as free agency, would you like to reduce the term when a player qualifies for, restricted free agency, Marshy?
Yeah, I think that is... I think the free agency rules for the male players is in a pretty good place. I think we'll continue to have discussions around reducing the years of eligibility. We think, as a basic sort of principle, we've got players that are put themselves in the draft, don't get any say around the club they're drafted to, or that can be in a different state to where they may want to live. It takes 8 years to really have any choices to move in clubs. And I don't think that's actually right from a sort of human perspective. In saying that, we've seen lots of players being able to get to the club of their choice before that 8 years. So it's probably not top of the agenda, but it's an ongoing conversation we'll have with the AFL. I think, the ongoing issues around, mental health. I think we've got issues, around racism in our industry. I think the past player stuff that Kingy's just talked about, like, we need to continue to do more work there. So there's lots of things we're working through on our agenda at the moment.
We're going to run out of time, but just quickly, can you see a point in this next bargaining agreement, the collective bargaining agreement, where we do have a mid-year trade period?
Oh, we're open to these sorts of conversations. It's not something that we have a strong view on, but at the same time, I think what
we've shown is we'll keep having conversations. If that's something the AFL and the clubs want to talk about, then we'll consider it. It's probably not something we'll be proactively pushing, but you know, not against it as a conversation starter.
And just finally, we haven't spoken to you, I certainly haven't, since the passing of your father, Paul. So just our deepest condolences from everyone here at SEN and to you and your family, who are no doubt continuing to do it tough. So just wanted to make that sentiment as well, and what a legend he was. But appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I do appreciate that. The support we've had as a family has been overwhelming and incredible, and you know, it's made things a bit easy. So I do appreciate that.
President of the AFL Players Association is Paul Marsh on an incredible landmark deal for the AFLW players, and they are ecstatic and rightly so. Good for the game and great for the growth of the game.